This podcast is intended for investment professionals only. Hello and welcome back to Market Talk. In what's shaping up to be a busy one already, this week we'll be looking at what's behind further falls in Chinese equity markets. We'll be talking about our current thinking in equities and investment-grade credit, looking at the flurry of central bank meetings this week, and touching on the German elections. So talking more quickly than usual is me, Frances Watson, but keeping wonderfully calm and collected, Ben Bennett, Head of Investment Strategy and Research, and who joins us from Hong Kong. Ben, hello to you.
Hi, Frances, how are you?
Not too bad, thank you very much. Now, you have been saying for weeks about the possible implications of the world's most indebted property company, Evergrande, and it seems that it's triggering a wider sell-off. Tell us what's going on.
There's been quite a, as you say, it's been weeks, months in the making, I guess, and it really starts nearly this time last year when China decided to tighten credit conditions and specifically look at the Chinese property companies and try and get the ones that were too indebted to reduce the debt. And if you know anything about credit, we look at credit a lot, that's my background as well, you know that as you start tightening credit conditions, all sorts of things happen and things that you never expected. So Evergrande is really under pressure now. Of course, you know, people who are buying properties off Evergrande are thinking twice about it, is worried that they're going to go bust. Are they going to finish that property, etc.? So it's having a bit of a spiral effect on the company. We know Evergrande is in restructuring, so that they are, the bonds are trading at that sort of level. So it's no surprise to anyone else. But markets, investors are looking at the next Evergrande. You know, what is the next large property developer that could get into trouble? And we are starting to see today, actually, beyond just the China property companies, we're starting to see high-yield companies across China, across the region, across the sort of Asian region come under pressure. I also think it's starting to impact a little bit, even the S&P 500. So we're starting to see the reverberations around the world, and it's really up to China to try and control what is going to be a big default, as you say.
We saw some easing from the People's Bank of China on Friday. Could we see, we had a bit of a surprise cut in the RRR in July. Could we see another one, do you think?
I think policymakers clearly looking at this very closely. And if they start to see systemic implications, they'll step in. And whether or not it's an interest rate cut or more liquidity, as you say, they've been... The central bank in China has been injecting quite a lot of liquidity in the last couple of weeks, whether it's an RRR cut or you know, whether they step in and have to sort of backstop some companies and guarantee some things. I think that could well be where we get to. But in order to get there, we probably have to see markets wobble a little bit more. That's always the case, isn't it? That's how you get policymakers interested. Markets or even consumers in China, probably more important than markets, if consumers start to demonstrate, get upset about things that they're not being given that they thought they'd paid for.
Okay, well, let's go from HK to the UK. And we had our own emergency talks over the weekend over the price in the gas price, which has spiked exponentially in the past month or so. What are the ramifications there, Ben?
Again, it's been going on for a while. I mean, the natural gas price has been going up all year. Worries about supply constraints from Russia. And then there was this issue, potential specific supply constraints in the UK, which I don't think is as bad as what people feared last week. But the price is going up, as you say. And of course, that matters massively for European consumers who are very exposed to the price of natural gas through heating systems, etc. And it's becoming political. So, you know, If you're going to see your consumer constrained in their spending power, and they're the voters as well, so it matters from a voting perspective, it also matters from an economic perspective. You're starting to see governments talking about giving subsidies, talking about the gas companies not putting up prices, or asking them in effect to take losses. And yeah, this is, like I said, getting very political. I'm not sure what the trajectory is for gas prices, and we're heading into winter, but everyone knows we're heading into winter, so that shouldn't be a surprise, of course. But already at these sorts of prices, it's looking quite tricky from a political perspective.
Now, let's turn to current positioning, because I believe you had your strategy meeting last week, and you came away with two conclusions, one on equities, one on investment grade credit. So just talk us through those, if you will.
We're still broadly positive on equities. We've been positive all year, really. And it's this time in the cycle, positive from an economic growth perspective, positive from a monetary perspective. Okay, the Federal Reserve might, we can talk about that in a second, where the tapering isn't far away, but they're still pumping huge amounts of liquidity in the system. So we're still positive. But at these valuations, yeah, we have been clipping that over time. So we're not maybe not quite as positive as we once were, but that's probably a valuation perspective. And look, if equities continue to correct, we'll have another look at the valuations. And that might be we might take the view at that point and we want to add again. So watch this space. And credit, again, we've been broadly conservative on investment grade credit because those yields, those spreads are so low. It's hard to see how much better valuations can get. So we've been a little bit more cautious, and generally we're neutral to underweight investment grade credit. We still quite like the higher yielding stuff, high yield credit, emerging market credit. We still prefer that higher spread. A lot of the caveats around the Chinese situation.
And well, let's go from high valuations to relatively low ones, where we find ourselves in the travel and leisure stock sector. And of course, announcements, this side of the in the UK, that they're going to ban the traffic light system, which is allowed for a bit of a happier time in that sector, which has been bombed out all summer. But look, I mean, today holding up very well indeed.
Well, yeah, we sort of have a bit of a barbell in terms of equity positions. We've got some of those positions on in terms of the reopening sectors that, you know, will do better as the economies gradually reopen. And of course, that announcement was a very positive one for travel companies. And we still like the technology sector as well. The sectors that have done well throughout this entire crisis because of better earnings going forward too. So the sort of the bombed out ones, the recovery trade, and also the ones that are benefiting just from a secular earnings trajectory. That's sort of how we're thinking about equity markets here.
Great. Now let's just turn to this week, because we have a flurry of central bank pronouncements, starting with the Fed. What are your thoughts there?
We think the announcement will be that they're getting closer to tapering and almost set themselves up with an option to announcing the tapering during the November meeting. And in November, they could actually start it. I mean, that would be we don't think they're going to start tapering in September, but we think they might give them that option in November. Or, you know, if things go wrong from a global perspective, we get some of these risks we've been talking about. Maybe the China situation starts to spiral a bit, starts to impact people's confidence more globally. Then they could delay the tapering to December or even beyond. So I think they'll just announce that they're getting closer. I don't think they'll make any firm announcements. Why tie your hands at this point with what's going on with the COVID and with what's going on in China?
Fair enough. But the BOE, the Bank of England, seem to be a little bit more concerned about the huge staff shortages that are happening here in the UK and the upward pressure on wages.
Yeah, the Bank of England is a little bit more constrained because they have to focus more on inflation. And we got a high inflation print recently, which has led to, you know, markets factoring in quite an acceleration in inflation prospects. So that's in the Bank of England's mind. And as you said, there are also these supply constraints that are potentially causing inflation in the future. So they have to be careful. And that's been reflected in market pricing, as I say, interest rates, yields going up. Inflation expectation, break-evens, what we call them, going up as well. And there is some potential that they sound quite hawkish, i.e. talking about hiking interest rates, but not actually hiking interest, just talking about them in this week's meeting. So that's definitely one to watch.
And of course, the Sunday, at the very end of the week, we have German elections. I mean, Chancellor Merkel, she's been at the helm for 16 years. How do you follow that?
I think from a global markets perspective, the most important thing is exactly that. Who's going to be the chancellor and how is that person going to fill Angela Merkel's boots in terms of the European Union, the statesperson that she was during a crisis period over the last couple of decades. At times, if you remember, we almost saw Greece getting chucked out, Italy under some serious stress. And Merkel was one of the key people that brought things together. So is the new person, whoever that is, going to be able to fill that position. And there will be some nervousness, at least in the beginning, just to see how that new person performs. So yeah, we could start to see that being priced into to risk assets, maybe some peripheral spreads on that basis. And that's probably more important than the domestic side, which is difficult to know exactly how policies are going to change. We don't have a clue about the way that the different coalitions are going to be set up. So focus, I think, will be on that personality, on the new chancellor.
Absolutely. Right, talking of focus, let's focus on your number for the week. What is it, Ben, and why?
Well, the number is 7.8 trillion, which is a big number. And I chose that because, like I said, on Wednesday, the Federal Reserve is going to be talking about tapering again, may not announce it at that point, but I just had a quick look to see how many bonds the Federal Reserve has got on their balance sheet, and it is $7.8 trillion. So you can see what they've been doing over the years to support markets, to influence markets, and having been buying a lot over the last, well, few quarters, this is the moment when they might start to reduce that over the next few months.
Ben, really great to talk to you as always. Have a good week. Thanks for joining Altrum Talks.
If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcast app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookout for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals only and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of the recording and do not reflect the views of legal and general investment management. Forward-looking statements are, by their nature, subject to significant risks and uncertainties and are based on internal forecasts and assumptions and should not be relied upon. Where individual stocks are mentioned, these do not constitute a recommendation to buy or sell any security and are for illustrative purposes only. Legal and General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. To find more great content, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website, ljim.com.